Hey there, welcome along. It's Damien back with the 9-to-5 Google Daily, this time for July 2nd, 2020. This is our snapshot of all of the biggest Google-related stories we've been talking about over the past 24 hours. So while there was no I/O this year, Google still launched a number of new features for its visual search tool in May. Google, though, is now working on a Lens redesign for Android that adds several new capabilities. Google Lens was redesigned at I/O 2019 with a set of filters that users have to deliberately select from. These modes help educate people on what Lens can do and provide a more focused experience. The upcoming Lens redesign, though, that we've managed to enable today, has a more compact interface where only the current filter shows an icon that doubles as the shutter. Modes are now displayed as text-only carousels at the very bottom of the screen. This UI is very reminiscent of the Google Camera app on Pixel phones, given the rounded corners of the viewfinder and the swipeable filter picker. Meanwhile, to the left of the capture button is a new gallery icon that lets you import an existing photo for analysis. This early design we've managed to enable still has the icon in the top right corner. In terms of functionality, the translate mode is adding support for offline translations, just like the full app and its instant camera. You'll be prompted to download language packs to use Lens when not connected to data. Meanwhile, we get our first glimpse at homework filters that we previously discovered, which can be used to take pictures of math problems and return a solution. A square viewfinder will let you focus so that just the equation itself is captured. This is similar to Google's Socratic app. While Lens in the latest Google app beta continues work towards this mode by adding a dedicated math symbols keyboard. The last addition is a places filter. This functionality already lets you point at a building to see business listings with hours, reviews, and other contact details. In breaking this out to its own separate filter, Google is bringing more attention to the capability. As far as we're aware, this Google Lens redesign looks to be still under development as it lacks any sort of branding, flash or other polish. As for rollout, we have no idea when this might come to a stable release. Earlier this year, it was reported that Google was working to bring Steam to Chrome OS. We've now discovered how Chrome OS will run Steam and which Chromebooks will support it to start with. For over a year now, Chrome OS has had support for running Linux apps, a project known as Crostini. Under the hood, Crostini runs an entire Linux distribution in a virtual machine, vaguely similar to a developer running an Android emulator on their desktop. Over the past few weeks, we've been tracking a new project within the Chromium open source code under the name Borealis. Based on some of the related code changes, Borealis seems to be related to virtual machines for Chrome OS. Through a fair bit of digging, we were able to obtain a copy of Borealis, which turned out to be another full Linux distribution. Unlike Crostini, which is based on Debian, Borealis is based upon Ubuntu, another popular variety of Linux. Just like the existing Linux app support, we believe Borealis will integrate itself with Chrome OS rather than being a full desktop experience. However, we found one key difference between Borealis and a normal installation of Ubuntu, as Borealis includes a pre-installed copy of Steam. This lines up with what we learned at CES 2020 when Qian Lu, Google's Director for Product Management for Chrome OS, shared that the upcoming Steam gaming support would be based upon Linux. Of course, this raises a number of questions. The simplest of these to answer is, why switch to Ubuntu when Debian has been working just fine? Well, Valve, the developers of Steam, have been very proactive in making gaming on Linux a reality. Their largest contribution is the development of Proton, a compatibility layer that helps Steam on Linux run games that were originally built for Windows. While Proton is intended to work on all major varieties of Linux, Steam's install instructions lay out that Ubuntu is their recommended variety for Linux gamers. For now, we're not sure if Google plans for Chromebook owners to switch from their existing Crostini Linux installation over to Borealis, or if the two are intended to coexist peacefully. The latter seems unlikely though, as it would needlessly use up additional storage space on devices. What we do know is where Chrome OS's Steam support is likely to appear first, as a recent code change found in the Chromium Gerrit shows that Google is internally testing this Steam support as Hatch-Borealis, where Hatch is the base codename for Chromebooks with 10th generation Intel processors. Hatch-based devices range from high-end machines like the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook to the more affordable options like the Lenovo Flex 5. Putting this all together, we already know for certain, thanks to a Googler, that Chrome OS is getting ready for Steam and therefore gaming. From what we've now discovered, Google appears to be preparing to do this by replacing or supplementing Chrome OS's existing support for Linux apps. Once live, Chromebooks starting with those with Intel 10th gen processors should be able to play real games. And thanks to Valve's Proton, those Chromebooks should support games built for Linux, as well as some Steam games that were only intended to work with Windows. With high-end Chrome OS devices becoming more common, and AMD Ryzen-based Chromebooks on the horizon, it's abundantly clear that Google is about to take gaming seriously on Chrome OS. As we enter the month of July, we're potentially only a few weeks from the official release of the Samsung Galaxy Watch 3. As a result, we've been learning more and more about the upcoming wearable, and now a fresh leak may have pinpointed the Galaxy Watch 3's price point. Thanks to a leak courtesy of Evan Blass, a couple of notable details about the Galaxy Watch 3 have come to the fore. First, it includes an extensive list of every model the watch will come in. From that list, we can see that there will be two sizes, 41mm and 45mm, as well as titanium and stainless steel builds too. Three colours will be available as well, with black, silver and bronze available. How much will all of these cost though? Well, it looks as though prices will fall between $400 and $600. That's not entirely surprising, but it's quite the increase over the original devices. The original Samsung Galaxy Watch 3 started at $329 for the 42mm version and $349 for the 46mm version. We'd imagine this price hike is Samsung's effort to put some distance in pricing between the Galaxy Watch 3 and the Galaxy Watch Active 2. To add to that, apparently the Watch 3 will also come preloaded with Spotify. As well, we're seeing Microsoft Outlook replace Samsung's own Mail app on the watch. There's also a new weather app, some rich notifications and an updated music widget, and information edges in the watch faces. As far as we know, the Samsung Galaxy Watch 3 is expected to be on sale by July 22nd. There's only a month or so left until the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra makes its debut, but leaks have been relatively quiet. Today though, a page on Samsung's own website in Russia inadvertently leaked the Galaxy Note 20 Ultra in some high-res photos. In these new photos, we can only see one variant of the Galaxy Note 20, apparently the Ultra model, in a new colour variant, dubbed Mystic Bronze. This new colour looks a lot like polished bronze, but of course it remains to be a glass back with a metal frame. The S Pen adopts that colour too for full cohesion. As far as design goes, the basic look is similar to what we've seen in previous leaks, and obviously inspired by the Galaxy S20's design language. The single camera housing is pretty much huge, with three main sensors along the left side, a flash and various other sensors along the right. Notably, Samsung has already altered the design of the Note 20's camera housing compared to the S20 series. Instead of a simple black backing, the colour scene is a darker tone of what the phone itself has, and it's eerily similar to the iPhone 11. As far as we're aware, Samsung is expected to debut the Galaxy Note 20 series in August with an online-only Unpacked event. And finally, as promised last month, the Google Messages beta now takes advantages of bubbles in Android 11. Support on the latest app beta is rolling out today via a server-side update. By default, bubbles appear in the top left of your screen. The floating avatar features a messages icon in the bottom right corner to denote the responsible application for the bubble itself. A name and preview appear against a light or dark background, depending on your device theme, for several seconds before disappearing and animating out into a blue dot. On initial press, you're greeted with an introduction about the functionality and can tap to manage or turn off bubbles from this application after expanding. Once open, the avatar is centered up top, while a plus button opens a short panel where recent bubbles and dismissed bubbles will appear. The contact name is displayed in the translucent top bar with shortcuts to reach via Google Duo or phone call. There's also search and an overflow menu for details, archiving and deletion of messages. The message thread is otherwise identical to the full app, including Google Assistant suggestions, while you can access media, photos and emoji and voice memos below. Opening a notification bubble will result in the notification disappearing from your status bar. If removed by dragging to the bottom of the screen, an unopened bubble will keep the conversation within your notification shade. From there, tapping the bottom right corner of the alert will re-show the bubble. To get involved and enjoy bubbles on your device, you'll need to be running Android 11 Beta 1, and you'll need to sign up to the Google Messages Beta. So that was a bite-sized overview of all the top news stories of the day. For further insight, you can read all of these stories in full detail and much more over at 9to5google.com and subscribe to the 9to5 Google Daily on Google Play. Google Podcasts are via your favourite podcast player to get updates from Monday through Friday. For more detailed and in-depth news, be sure to subscribe to our long-form Alphabet Scoop podcast, which is usually available every Wednesday.